Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Wake Up with Jesus and Coffee podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Forrester, and I am joined today by
Matt Forrester, her husband.
Mm-hmm. My wonderful, wonderful husband.
What's left of him?
So we are here today, and as we always start out this podcast, we're drinking some coffee. Have you been able to figure out what the coffee is?
I'll be honest with you, you made it, and I haven't had a look at it. I'm not sure what I'm drinking. It's good.
It's really good. So because I'm being joined by my wonderful husband, I wanted to do something that was kind of special to us. So I went to the Fresh Market. Yes, that is right, the Fresh Market.
The Fresh Market is special to us?
Yeah, because when we were first dating, we were poor. We're still poor. But we would just walk
poor
around.
Poor in spirit.
Yeah. We would just walk around the Fresh Market, and it was beautiful and fun.
We still do that.
We still do that, yeah. But I'm drinking, well, we're drinking a pecan, or pecan, as some people say.
Pecan.
Pecan pie coffee blend from the Fresh Market. It's quite lovely.
Yeah, it's nice. A little festive. I don't mind doing fall things. Mm-hmm. I generally... I'm the guy that likes to eat pumpkin stuff amongst lots of men out there that are not really into pumpkin things. So I don't mind it. It's quite lovely, and it'll keep me awake all night.
Mm-hmm. Keep you awake all night. We're recording this at night. I probably should have bought decaf, by the way. Sorry about that.
I just put coffee on my white shirt.
So we're going to stop drinking coffee.
Not till it's done.
Well, not till it's done. Yeah, I got to finish my coffee, as always, but we're going to get into our main segment of today's podcast. Something that we've discussed, not a lot, because I wanted to keep it as authentic as possible, but definitely a topic that we have talked about in, that's going on in the Christian world.
There's a lot of things going on in the Christian world. Kanye's our new poster boy.
Yeah, there's going to be another podcast about that, because as we record this, Kanye is now the new Christian contemporary artist out there.
I wouldn't necessarily call him that, but I am throwing this out there. We're praying for Kanye. True conversion is a great thing.
Yeah, so we'll probably get more into that into another podcast episode, but today's podcast episode, we wanted to focus on what's going on in the world of Christian leadership. All right, so before we get too into today's podcast, Matt, you want to talk about a few things that you've got going on right now?
Yeah, I can definitely do that. So I'm Hannah's husband, Matt, for those that haven't met me. I'm on another podcast. It's a video podcast called The Worship Cast. Thought we'd do a little plug here. Myself and Franklin Hang and Live Studio Lucas, as we call him, we have a podcast about worship music. We've had a whole first season come out, which is a very it's been very nurturing so far. It's good for beginner worship musicians.
I've made a few appearances on there before.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
It's a good thing for people to watch to learn how to become a better worshiper. And the whole point of it isn't necessarily all, get better at your instrument, because it's great to be better at your instrument. But if you're going to be an effective worship musician, you've got to be in a better place with God first. So, kind of the whole of the show is making sure that not only are you practicing your music, but you're also in the Bible and you're reading and you're living out what you're supposed to. Season two right now is in production. Mm-hmm. We are working on a couple things for that. So in a few weeks, the Worship Cast will be back with plenty more things. But that's what I've got going on.
Absolutely. And kind of a good segue into our main topic, because Matt and I are, quote-unquote, worship leaders or musicians in our church, we're oftentimes looked at as people in leadership.
Yeah, I mean, anytime that you're in front of people, at a church, I mean, you're going to be held to a different higher standard.
Yep.
But to that same regard, Paul says that we should live above reproach.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be an easy transition.
It should be.
Shouldn't it?
And so really to go into that, you know, as Christians, we all should be living above reproach, but especially those in leadership need to make sure that they're taking the time to really be immersed in God's word, because they do have not only fellow Christians looking at them, but the world. So just to give a few examples of some leaders that have kind of been in the news lately.
Yeah, and these things have been talked about over and over and over again, these couple of people and the statements that they've made, but I don't know, we kind of want to discuss it too, and look at maybe a different standpoint on the whole thing. So we name dropping here?
Sure. Yeah, so the two main guys, and you know, we can talk about some others that have, you know, kind of come out and, you know, had some different things happen, but the two main ones we're going to focus on is Joshua Harris, who was a pastor of a pretty big mega church, and then Marty Sampson, who was a songwriter for Hillsong Worship.
Yeah, I wrote a lot of the songs that we sing in our local churches and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's very rare that we don't do a service that we don't do some kind of Hillsong song. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it be the actual Hillsong Worship or Young and Free or United, you know, it's a pretty big church, Hillsong is.
Yeah, and let's, before we dig all the way in, we want to go ahead and preface this. We may say some fairly harsh things,
mm-hmm.
But I want to make clear, first and foremost, we are not calling anyone's salvation into question.
No.
Each person's salvation should be worked out on their own with fear and trembling. I'm not calling anybody's salvation into question, but I will point out where holes have been poked in people's thoughts. Mm-hmm. So,
and it's very important to do so. I mean, it even says that in the Bible, that if you're calling yourself a Christian, you know, fellow Christians, we need to hold each other accountable. And I mean, we did a whole another podcast about that. So
it's important to not only to hold each other accountable. And first off, if you're going to do that, you need to make sure your own stuff's kind of in line,
mm-hmm.
but you need to be open to other people speaking into you, because as much as we all hate to admit it, we are all not right most of the time. It's an important piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
Are we actually going to read out the entire statements of what these guys said? Or I feel like the those that are tech savvy enough to listen to a podcast can probably find the actual Instagram.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary to go ahead. I mean, Joshua Harris, his is still out there. I mean, you can find it on a bunch of, you know, news posts as well, but his actual Instagram post where this whole thing started is still out there. Marty Sampson, as of late October, now that we're recording this, he's actually gone back. He's since deleted the post. He's actually deleted all of the posts from his Instagram page last time I looked. But he hasn't really said anything, but he has since deleted that, which makes me think that maybe he's, you know, stewing over some things, hopefully.
And listen, there's no shame in that either. In a Christian walk, God is big enough to handle your doubts and your questions and your fears. Some of the sweetest moments of realizing how big God is and how much grace He actually extended towards us are in those times of turmoil where you have questions, where you need answers. Mm-hmm. The problem comes in when you try and answer those questions out of your own power.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, we're at our church right now, we're in a study of Habakkuk. And, you know, the whole book of Habakkuk is, you know, the prophet, he's basically questioning God, you know. He knows God is in control, but he's like, God, why are you doing this? You know, are you there? Are you listening? And, you know, God answers back, even though he answers in a way that Habakkuk doesn't really understand or, you know, doesn't like. Yeah, exactly, like. But he always answers back. And so that kind of segues into my first point is, you know, we want to make sure that we're not saying that doubting is bad, because doubting can sometimes be good. There's actually two ways to look at it. So good doubt and bad doubt. Good doubt puts you in a posture of, I don't understand, but I'm going to seek and to understand. So, you know, to put that in perspective, there's so many things in the Bible that I'm never going to understand. I know I'm not. The more I seek, you know, the more I'm not going to get it. But I have to lean on God's understanding and not my own understanding. And on the other fold, you know, the bad doubt leaves you vulnerable and can turn into bitterness, anger, and resentment. So instead of leaning on God's understanding, we start leaning on our own understanding, which we're never going to be able to grasp. And we get bitter and we get angry and we get more and more confused because we don't have all the answers and we're not going to.
That leads into a point that I had to speak out about Marty. So a lot of the things that he said, one of the big ones that popped out to me was when he said he doesn't understand how God can send 4 billion people to hell. And so that leads me to believe that it's a place where it's doubt gone wrong, kind of like mm-hmm. you said. You start to try to answer in your head, well, how come God can do such a mean thing? And to be honest with you, that to me is kind of Christianity 101, right? I mean, that's an early on question when you mm-hmm. start realizing some are going to heaven and some are going to hell. That's pre-conversion or shortly after conversion questions. I mean, these are young Christian questions. If you've been saved for 10 years and you still wonder these things, I don't 100% blame you. You know, I mm-hmm. blame our poor job of discipleship over the years, as well as a lack of commitment to the Word. And so, you know, it's not all your fault, but some of it is your fault. And that sounds harsh, but I fall in that latter category a lot of times myself. And, it's something you have to work on. But it's a lack of discipleship and theological teaching. It shows that you know of the attributes of God, but that you don't actually know God himself. And so you start talking about, well, how can God send these people to hell? Doesn't he love everybody? Yes, he mm-hmm. does.
He does.
But God also does not tolerate sin.
Mm-hmm. He's a just God.
He is. God did not create sin. I mean, original sin come from the garden. It come from us. And so when you start looking at, you know, God sends these people to heaven and these people to hell, well, no, we all deserve hell. Every one of us has sinned against a holy God. And so to answer that question of how can God do this, well, God didn't do this. We did this. And mm-hmm. God extended his grace in the way of his Son, and he made a way so that we can get to him. You know, and that to me, yeah. again, is early Christian questions. And to make it as a songwriter in a Christian church, especially like Hillsong, and not understand the answer to that question shows a lack of pouring into and of theological understanding. I mean, it's, again, you can write songs about things that you've never experienced. I can pull up pictures mm-hmm. of Ireland online and write about Ireland. But until I have visited Ireland and experienced it for myself, I don't really know Ireland.
Yeah, and that leads you into a really good point. You know, the doctrine of total depravity, as which is one of the number one concepts in Calvinism, which can sometimes be a bad word in some Christian circles.
But, it can.
But
I am not a Calvinist by choice. I'm a Calvinist because I simply cannot help it.
That's true. But yeah, I mean, that's one of the main concepts and that you're really supposed to grasp early on as a baby Christian. I mean, that's the whole point of the gospel. You know, why we needed a savior is because man can't. I mean, we're total depraved. There's nothing good within us. The only good thing that's within us is him.
Absolutely.
And so that, I mean, that's you know, Christian 101. That and we're Paul, not good and he is.
Again, just go read Romans at all. Paul will be the first one to tell you that we are wicked. Not one is righteous. No, not one. Mm-hmm. So when you start believing in your own mind, well, all people actually are kind of inherently good. That's an issue because that lessens the power and the grace of God and the love of God towards us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we were pretty good, so Jesus came to help out, that doesn't mean anything. But if we were totally lost without any hope for any salvation at all, and God showed up and made a way, that is the ultimate extension of love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole point.
That's the gospel right there in a nutshell.
One of the other things that kind of gets me is it seems like a lot of people and early Christians, again, baby Christians, where you know they haven't gotten all that far along yet, they're trying to figure some things out. It's easy for people to come up with the notion that maybe all religions lead to God, right? Well, we'll get there. And I'll be honest with you, when I was a young Christian, I had that thought myself, you know, well, how can all these people possibly go to hell? And so you start trying to rationalize under your own power. But, guys, there are some of us that are walking around out here that can't remember which way's right and which way's left. We have to hold our fingers up in front of our face to figure that out. There's some of us that wear two different colored socks. There's some of us that put our shoes on the wrong feet in the morning. And so when it comes to thinking about an everlasting God and an everlasting, you know, eternal life, and you're just going to make up an answer out of your own head, and like you forgot to unplug the curling iron this morning, you know what I mean? That it just, it shows that your belief and your theological background can't come out of your own head. It's never supposed to. The answer comes from God, and it's in the Bible. He left his word here for us.
Exactly. And I feel like a lot of times we embrace this kind of culture of, you know, well, I don't have to read my Bible. I don't have to be this great theologian. Well, if you're a Christian, you're going to be a theologian no matter what, you know, because we're all supposed to seek and read his word. But a lot of times we get preacher religion where we tend to just listen to what the preacher has to say on, you know, Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and sometimes Wednesday nights, which is where a lot of people are being led astray because, let's face it, Marty Sampson is just a dude. Joshua Harris is just a dude. You know, they're people. They have flaws. They're going to fail. If we're going to build an eternity on something, it has to be more everlasting than, you know, just some dude, not, you know, the guy who came to save the world, which is what he did.
Mm-hmm. Some of us can't spell, and yet we want to make up our own rules about Christianity.
Mm-hmm. So, enough picking on Marty for a little bit.
Oh, no. I've got
one more.
I'm not done with him yet. Again, I'm not calling anyone's salvation into question. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that guy. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect because I have struggled with a lot of the same issues and questions that Marty Sampson has. If it seems like I'm picking on him, it's only because as soon as this podcast is over, I'm going to pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone listening should do the same because it's a brother who's hurting, okay? That's where we're at. So I think it's a good thing to discuss so that others around don't have to struggle with the same things, but again, they need love and support more than they need tear down. So that being said, the most concerning part of his entire statement is a little piece that not a lot of people really have picked out of this, because he talks about contradictions in the Bible and all this kind of stuff, and so I've seen a lot of people harp on that. But the one part, the most disturbing part of it to me, was when he said, "I've never been about living my life for others." That is a fundamental misunderstanding of what God and Christianity is. Jesus says to give your life away to others, to live your life for other people, and to live your life for the glory of God, solely for His glory, right? If you are in a public forum and you are very quick to say, "I've never lived my life for other people," it's the same thing as saying, "I never embraced the gospel." Again, I'm not calling anybody's salvation into question, but that is a concerning statement to me for someone who claims to be Christian. I don't know, that part just screamed out to me.
Yeah. And again, goes back to, you know, what the gospel really is about. I mean, even back to the golden rule that, you know, we're to love the Lord your God with all of our heart and mind, soul, and then love our neighbor as ourselves. If we're not loving God like we're supposed to, how can we love our neighbors like we're supposed to?
And that's the thing, is that if you love God like you're supposed to, you will love your neighbor like you're supposed to. Not that you're loving your neighbor. It's never the opposite way around. It's never works-based. You never love your neighbor like you're supposed to so that you can love God the way you're supposed to. It always starts with the relationship with God, and that causes a change in you to be able to love other people.
Yeah, it's and again, the faith is what produces works. It's not the works that produce the faith, but the faith that produces the works.
So let's pick on the other dude.
Let's pick on Joe. No, we're not picking on anyone here. We're having a good theological discussion about two men of God, or two men who said they were of God, that we're very, very sad for and heartbroken over, and they really need our prayer.
And the thing about it is when we look at these things again, I never want to tear them down.
Yeah.
But it's, as you listen to these things, if you've ever had some of these thoughts or you've ever had some of these questions, I mean, it's meant in love to help as many Christians as possible. And I, you know, again, we pray for these men. You know, I hope that they get it together.
Absolutely. And going back to something that you said about Marty, definitely applies even more so, I think, to Joshua, as far as not having that good doctrinal, you know, sound backing with his theology. So just a little background on Joshua Harris. Joshua Harris was really big in the late 90s, early 2000s, really until like my middle school years, which was like 2006, 7, and 8.
So like a couple years ago?
Yeah, no. but I remember a lot of my friends were, I actually never personally read the book myself, but I remember a lot of my friends reading the book. I was one of those kids who begged my grandparents to give me a, you know, a purity ring when I turned 16. So I was all into that, which, I mean, hey, you know, no judgment, no shame in flaunting that purity ring. Very important. But that's really what he was kind of the fuel behind the whole purity, true love waits movement.
Prosperity purity.
But he wrote
I didn't say that.
He wrote the book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. And I didn't know this, but he actually wrote it. I found this out earlier today when I was doing some research. He wrote it when he was 21 years old, which is just astonishing to me. Because when I was 21, I mean, I'm 25 going on 26 now, and I still don't have, you know, the best grasp. I wish I had more of a grasp on, you know, theological issues, but I definitely was not rooted enough in my faith to write an entire book about sexual purity when I was 21 years old. So that being said, the book was praised by many theologians at the time, and it was also kind of pushed aside, and a reason for that, it was very moralistic. It had a lot of moralism teachings to it, which, I mean, isn't a bad thing. You know, we don't want the opposite.
We should have good morals.
Yeah, we should. Christians
with bad morals shouldn't. It's not a thing.
Christians definitely need to have good morals, but if we're kind of like the guy from the American Gospel was saying, you know, if you're teaching a sermon on 10 tips on how to be pure, but you're not teaching about the gospel and, you know, Jesus Christ and how he's the one that makes you pure, not you, you're missing the point.
You're working too hard.
You're working too hard. And so...
Not that you shouldn't work towards it. It's an interesting system.
It's an interesting system, that's for sure. But yeah, and so he actually came out about 2015 and resigned from his church, stating that he thought that he didn't have a good theological background or basis. He basically, you know, ran before he could walk. And I mean, this was what? I mean, he wrote this book in 97 and didn't resign as a pastor until 2015. That's
a pretty good run.
That's a pretty good run. And then what, you know, eventually led to this past summer, he announced his divorce from his wife. And then...
Or How I Kissed Marriage Goodbye.
Yeah. Wow.
Listen, I've never been the most politically correct.
My husband has the darkest of humor. That's why I married him. But yeah, announced that he was getting a divorce from his wife. And then about a month later, basically said that he didn't align with Christian values at all. Basically, that what you would consider a Christian to be, he was not. So you had a man who basically started an entire Christian movement to now what, you know, 15 years later.
Prosperity Christian movement.
Purity movement. Basically saying, you know, I'm not a Christian. And so why, we ask, how did that happen?
Well, since you asked. Just doing some of my own research, looking into a lot of the things that are going on, it's like you said, it's very, very moralistic. But when you start looking into moralistic views, you start looking into works-based things again. Mm-hmm. You start looking at, instead of teaching that Jesus is the one that changes you, who changes your attitude, because the only good thing in you is Jesus, that anything you can do under your own power is not good, that it has some kind of vain struggle in it. Instead, when you get on the works-based idea, it becomes a reward system where if I am pure, I am rewarded a good husband. If I am pure, I am rewarded good relationships. If you get outside of the purity realm, if I do good deeds, God will give me money and a house. It's all the same thing, just under a different umbrella. So you start looking at works-based ideas, you start looking at prosperity ideas, and next thing you know, you are doing things to earn God's favor.
Even, I mean, sorry to cut in, but even worse, I mean, you basically ground your salvation in that, which is,
It's not salvation.
That's not salvation. It's false. I mean, I very much so was, you know, driven to that point, even in my, you know, early to late teens, where I thought, okay, if I didn't have sex, if I wore my little purity ring, if, you know, I stayed pure, I didn't cuss, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, you know, I was not going to go to hell. Now, I know now that's not what holds my salvation. My salvation is grounded in the fact that Jesus has saved me and he has made me righteous and clean. And I don't want to do those things because of that. But for a long time, I had a false sense of salvation.
And it kind of comes back to this. He was, I mean, he stayed in the faith for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
First off, they all saying that they're renouncing their faith. You don't renounce your faith. You can go through times of harsh sin and be brought back to light, or you were never saved at all. There is no, I'm Christian, now I'm not Christian, back and forth. That stops here. But works-based faith cannot support longevity. All right? If your faith is rooted in being works-based and being what you can do to please God or what you can do to earn your way into heaven, eventually your own ideas, the world around you, whatever, will crumble you and they will strike you down. It cannot support your salvation or what you think is your salvation. You eventually will fall. And that's what's happened in a lot of these cases. That true faith perseveres through the questions, through the doubts, through the storms, that God is your rock and that never changes. But when you become your own rock under your own power, you will fail. You're human. You're fallible. We have all sinned. And that's where we are.
Yeah.
And it also, I'll go ahead and use that to segue into this. Theology is important, kids. It's important to know why you believe what you believe or where your faith is based. It's important to realize the distinction between trying to do good things to earn your way into heaven or realizing that God changed you when you were saved and now you do good things because you love God.
Mm-hmm.
There is a huge difference. And sometimes you don't realize what camp you're in until you start studying the Word and start listening to God in a bigger way.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And to kind of, you know, go into, well, why would God allow this? You know, why would he allow, you know, people speak and prophesy in his name who, you know, were never for him? Or, you know, I mean, the Bible says it, you know. It says there'll be wolves in sheep's clothing. Even in 1 John 2:19, it says, and this is paraphrase, I didn't copy this down. But it says in the last days that there will be those who will look like you and act like you. But eventually they'll go out from among you because they never were of you. They never were. And that's a sad reality. Which is kind of like the parable of the sower. You know, where Jesus told the parable of the four different soils. There was the hard soil, the stony soil, the thorny soil, and then the good soil. You know, the hard soil was like that hardened heart. You know, the one that the gospel, you know, unfortunately was just falling on the deaf ears because their heart was already hardened and it was not going to receive. And then you have the stony soil, which likes the idea and is fully committed, but isn't fully committed to the idea. They're kind of like, okay, yeah, I can see that, but they don't want to fully commit.
That would be like taking certain parts out of the Bible that you really like, and then taking other parts out of the Bible and going, I don't really like that part. It's either all true or none of it's true.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And then the thorny soil, you know, that's the one that does, you know, receive it welcoming, but there's so many idols and worldly possessions in the way that it doesn't fully take root.
When you're trying to store up your treasures here in this life and not realize that Jesus is the treasure of this life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then you've got that good soil that he ends with. And that good soil is what, amen. Because without that good soil, you know, with the roots going down in there, you can't produce the fruit. So the whole point of it is, you know, the gospel is going to get, you know, thrown at these different soils, but the good one is what produces the fruit. The true Christian is what produces the fruit. So if you're not seeing your church leaders producing that fruit, maybe time to look for a different church.
Again, not calling anybody into question. Anyone out. But each Christian should want to figure out for themselves what the Bible really says. You should have that longing to understand and to better understand and to make sure that you are not in a place where you're trying to earn your way to God, but realize that God paid for it, and now you do things because you are His.
Exactly.
You cannot spend this life apart from God and expect to spend eternity with God.
Absolutely. I think it was cool that Paul Washer, who's a great preacher.
Paul, come be on the show.
Yeah, I wish. Him and John Piper. They can just come on.
Absolutely.
but he actually tweeted this out today. I saw this. I was like, this is so relevant to the conversation today. But he tweeted, "The true sheep are sensitive to the Spirit's conviction and confess their sins, while the goats see no blemish and are perfectly content in their comfortable religion. To make matters worse, their dangerous spiritual state is rarely exposed from the pulpit." Whew. That was harsh. Harsh but good.
Sometimes. That's how it's got to be.
Yeah. And to kind of, you know, go a little bit more into Paul's tweet, you know, not to confuse this with moralism, of course, you know, where I have to do things in order to earn my righteousness, like we talked about, you know, versus Jesus be my righteousness. But if your leaders are not calling out sins that are contrary to what Jesus' teachings and what the Bible teaches, you have a leadership that's theologically corrupt. And that's not a church that you want to be a part of. So if this is something that, you know, is really hitting you, and I believe, you know, the Spirit, once you're a child of His, the Holy Spirit gives you that discernment. We have that discernment. And if your discernment is going off and you're hearing this now and you're thinking, boy, I might be under the wrong leadership, pray about it. Absolutely pray about it. Seek God's word. Every sermon you listen to, make sure you go back. And if something doesn't sound exactly biblically correct, go back, you know, search the scriptures and even bring it to your leaders and your pastors in the church. You know, if you do find something that's not sitting with you correctly, and if the pastor is, you know, of the good fruit, you know, he's going to be willing to, you know, take a step back and, you know, listen and actually absorb what the Bible is saying. But if not, it's not a good situation.
And realize that that men are fallible, and sometimes we are just going to get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we have a book kind of like the Bible. Or definitely the Bible.
Definitely the Bible.
That never gets it wrong. True from cover to cover. And so as we're kind of winding down, and I know that we've one disclaimer after another this whole episode, but we need to be praying for our leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are just a couple of examples. There are many more examples of preachers and all kinds of people that have fallen, that have come under sin, that have realized, and many of them find their way back, or I actually rather should say that God draws them back to Him. But these people, they need prayer as bad as you or I do, because they're not perfect and we're not perfect. And to say that, you know, we're sitting here recording this podcast and picking them apart, but to say that I'm any better than any of these people is ridiculous. It's a ridiculous notion to pretend that, well, that will never happen to me, because we all are more than capable of these kinds of things and questions and doubts and things that rack our minds and hearts. This is a fallen, sinful world that we live in, and we are part of the problem.
Yeah, I mean, you, I, Marty, and Joshua, you know, we're all... And Kanye. Time will tell with Kanye, though. Time will tell. But yeah, we're all born of Adam's flesh. And because we're born of Adam's flesh, you know, we're not God, and we can't be. So we're going to be wrong.
Yeah. So pray for yourselves. Pray for these people. Pray for true guidance. And if you've never really dug into, really, if you've never really dug deeper into the Bible, but deeper into some of these issues, there's plenty of resources online. There are plenty of good theologians to look into. There are so many resources for you to listen to realign yourself and to get back in a good place. And I'll just throw this out there, since we're name dropping a lot of people today. If you need a good place to start, go listen to John Piper.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. Go do it. And
read Desiring God too.
Yep. Yeah. Those are wonderful things.
Another disclaimer, you can't just read Desiring God. You can't just listen to John Piper. Like I said before, you can't have preacher religion. So if you're going to listen to these preachers and read these blog posts, make sure you're always going back to the scriptures that are quoted. That's so important.
Yeah, the Bible is the most important one.
Yep.
These theologians and everything are all supplements to the holy word of God. I cannot stress that enough. But realizing, and this here will... Here's your quote for the entire episode. This will fix all the issues that we've talked about up to this point. Realizing that knowing lots of cool things about God and actually knowing God are two totally different things will fix all of your issues and doubts and questions. When you experience God's full grace and full love, when you realize your position and your brokenness in comparison to how holy and great the Savior is and the scale and the magnitude of the things that He did, when you finally come in that moment and you realize it, it will change you, and that's the whole point. Again, we've got plenty of vague songs and worship music about all of these attributes of God, and it's wonderful to praise Him for those things, but God has a personal salvation for each and every person. Please look for that.
Absolutely. So just to close, again, if this has spoke to you in any way, I urge you definitely pray about it. Pray hard. Seek out the scriptures. This is something that's really, really important right now, especially in the modern day church, is that we pray for our leadership. Because again, like we've said, they're men and women just like you and I. So we want to thank you for listening. Thank you, Matt, for joining me on this episode.
Anytime. I'm easy to get a hold of.
Yeah, just right here. And so as always, make sure that you wake up with Jesus and coffee.
Oh yeah, there's coffee.